sounds good. Thank you, Gary, for the tunes. Before we introduce our studio guest for the next segment, we've got to get to Daniel calling from Phoenix, who's very patiently been holding. Let's see if we can't get him an answer to his question, a solution to his problem, and let him get on with his day. Good morning, Daniel.
Hi, Rosie. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, well, thanks for the call. What you up to today?
Okay, I got a patio cover in the back, and I neglected to put gutters on it, so now the fascia is pretty much trashed. I'd like to get that replaced, but I'm curious about the torch-down roof. Will I have to get that totally replaced? That's my work.
Okay. Are you sure you've got to replace the fascia? Is it salvageable if we sand it, scrape it, prime it, and maybe aluminum cover it and let it live happily ever after?
Honestly, I don't think so.
it's that far gone.
It's pretty far. Yeah, in the corners, you know, they can't be nailed together anymore. It's pretty bad.
Pretty bad, huh?
It's actually expanded maybe from 8 to 9 inches in the where it's really bad, you know.
Well, I tell you what, Daniel, it just so happens your question fits perfectly with the guest we've asked this week to join us this segment. I'd like to introduce Alan. Alan, thanks for coming in this morning, buddy.
Warren, thanks for having me.
Owner of Handyman Connection. What is your success with your crew of handymen in replacing fascia without impacting the finished roof surface?
Yeah, it's definitely doable. We replace a lot of fascia board, like you mentioned before. A lot of the time you can just scrape it, prime it, paint it, cover it. But if it's that far gone, we can definitely replace it.
And how do you specifically do that? Go in there with a Sawzall, cutting the nails between the top of the fascia and the roof deck, and then get in there and then do the same thing with the nails behind the fascia? I guess at that point you can just use nail pullers and pull them out. And then nurse that baby back in position, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Daniel, it's doable. I would say, depending on where you are, give Alan a call. Handyman Connections. Come in this morning to help us talk with the most frequently asked question that we have on our website this week. What do I need to know to store stuff in my attic? Let me ask you, Alan, do you get a lot of requests for pull-down stair access to attics and carports and garages?
We do. We get a good amount of requests for pull-down stairs. We also get a lot of requests to put plywood up there.
Yeah.
Or maybe a vent fan to keep it a little cooler up there.
People want to know, what can they keep up there? What do you tell them?
Gosh.
I usually stick my head up there and say, I wouldn't keep any of this stuff up here.
Yeah, anything that you don't care about.
Oh, man. It's a messy storage environment.
It really is, especially if you've got, you know, the insulation and everything, which is why plywood up there makes it a lot easier to store stuff. It keeps the insulation out of your stuff and your boxes. But, yeah, it is messy.
And on the desert floor, you know, your indoor attic temperature, if it's a traditional style, you know, above the insulation level, it could be 150 plus.
So. Oh, yeah.
It's not like storing something in an attic in Colorado.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't even let our guys get up in the attic this time of year. It's just too hot.
It's Alan Hopkins from Handyman Connection. Rosie certified handyman repair specialist. Been Rosie certified, I don't know, y'all got to be going on about 10 years, don't you?
Yeah, I would say about 10 years.
Second generation company. You've acquired the company from your dad.
I did.
I haven't seen your dad in a long time. What's he doing?
He's playing a lot of golf. He's enjoying the grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my brother had two little girls, and they spent a lot of time together, and he's playing a lot of golf.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, congratulations on the successful transition of the ownership, and congratulations to you for doing such a great job.
Thank you.
What are some of the more common things y'all are being asked to do right now? Is COVID impacting your workload?
I would say it's definitely having an impact. We're seeing a lot more outdoor requests.
I bet you guys love that.
Yeah, especially this time of year. But, you know, people are sitting around their house and they're looking around at things that have been bugging them for a while. And, you know, they end up calling us. We're still doing a lot of interior work with masks and boot covers and sanitizer, but definitely getting a lot more outdoor requests right now.
The number one handyman request we get at Rosie Wright Remodeling is to come finish some project that was started 3 months ago, 6 months ago. Do y'all see a lot of that?
Yeah, a lot of the jobs that we get on is, you know, the husband started the project and he realized he was a little over his head, or he got busy with other things, and then the wife gets irritated that, you know, the thing isn't done yet, so they end up calling us to come
and
in and
finish
it.
And a lot of times tools can be such a factor in that. Yeah. Having the right tool for the job. And you know, there's a lot of places that will rent tools because it's so, you know, it doesn't make sense to spend $500 on a tool that you use once in your, you know, once every three decades.
Don't tell mom that. I think it makes a lot of sense. You can never have too many books or too many tools.
Oh, here we go.
But a lot of times if it's a project that you're doing so rarely, you know, it's not like you're skilled at using that tool, especially if it's powered and it's heavy equipment.
That's where it gets scary for homeowners, is they get intimidated with the big tools and they don't know how to use it, and it can be dangerous.
We talked about it last week. There's an article stating a survey, 45 of the states, 45 of our states, have seen job increase in the construction trades in May and April.
Doesn't surprise me.
Interesting.
The job growth in the trades went up during all of this. Everybody getting stuff done.
Yeah. No, we're very busy. I'd love to hire 4, 5, 6 more guys immediately.
Okay. There's a pitch right there to all listening audience. If you know somebody that can make the grade and make the cut, to join the team at Handyman Connection, who would they call?
They could call me directly.
Okay.
Call our main office number, ask for me, say you heard me on Rosie on the House and you're interested in a job.
And what's the phone number?
602-424-6700.
And if you're not looking for a job, if you're looking for something to get done, how backed up are y'all right now?
Depends on the part of town.
Okay.
But I would say generally about 2 weeks out right now.
And what is your service area?
We cover all of Maricopa County.
I wish you did Tucson. Would you ever consider doing Tucson? We can't find a handyman in Tucson to save our life, you sure do a good job for us up here in Phoenix.
Well, I appreciate that. We try real hard.
Tell us a little bit of story about Handyman Connection.
Sure. So Handyman Connection was started back in 1995 by two retired guys, and one was a marketing guy. The other one was a pretty handy guy, and they were buddies. And the one guy started working around his community, and neighbors would come and say, "Hey, Marvin, I need something done." And then the marketing guy said, "Hey, there's an opportunity here where we could connect craftsmen who are skilled with homeowners who are looking for someone to get things done." And when the company came out, we hired a lot of retired or semi-retired grandpa type guys to come in and do smaller jobs. And over the years, the business has sort of evolved. Now we have more skilled craftsmen, more younger guys who are more, you know, capable to go in and do bigger projects than just, you know, your little honeydews.
Y'all have grown way past the licensing handyman exemption clause. You've just gone ahead and got licensed all the way across the board.
Yeah, yeah. We figured if we're going to go in and do remodels, we need to have the remodeling license, we need to have the plumbing license, we need to have the electrical license.
I talked to the registrar director this week, as a matter of fact, Mr. Fleetham, and he was telling me in their last licensing shuffle, they actually came up with a license I wasn't familiar with. That is the beginner's license that takes you up to $5,000.
Yeah.
That's a great little license to get started on. It doesn't take any experience. It's a great place to get legal, get licensed, move. And I know you guys are way past that. but I bring that up just as a little bunny trail, because I was talking to him just this week, and we got on that topic, and I thought, man, guy, that was genius. That we've needed that license for a long time. So anyway, back to Handyman Connection. So it's getting projects done that have been started. I've even taken a call or two from the husband and said, "Hey, I know my wife called you to finish this job, but I did it last weekend after she made the appointment." Do you get any of that?
We do. We get a lot of cancellations where the wife will call, she'll book the appointment. Husband finds out that she booked an appointment, and then she calls back and says, "My husband's going to do it."
Now, we're not recommending that because that's obviously a lot of time for your hand. Find another motivational strategy and don't tie up their time. So,
are your handyman techs marriage counselor qualified?
They kind of have to be.
They do. Yes,
you know, when you're in a house and you're talking to both the husband and the wife, it sometimes it can get a little tense.
Well, sometimes they've got different perspective of what they want done, and one way is a right way or a better practice way or a more durable way. And, you know, stating which one of those is more correct can be a touchy situation.
It can be a little difficult. I've actually had the wife whisper in my ear, talk him out of that. Talk him out of that. Tell him not to do that. That's a bad idea.
And did you agree it was a bad idea?
I did. In this particular situation, it was a horrible idea.
Well, let's give your phone number out one more time at Handyman Connection, Val, operating Phoenix Metro-wide.
Yep. Phone number for the main office is 602-424-6700.
Is there any work y'all don't do?
We don't do big remodels. We don't do additions and that sort of thing. We don't do roofing. We don't do HVAC.
Okay.
We don't do concrete work. There's a lot of things that we don't do. Carpet.
Okay.
But we try to have referrals for anything that we don't do. A lot of our referrals are Rosie Trusted Partners.
Okay.
So that if it is something that we don't do, we can give them a referral to somebody we trust.
Well, we certainly appreciate the partnership you've had with us and the reviews you've received and your whole team has received from the Rosie listeners. So thanks for carrying the banner properly and highly.
We appreciate Rosie very much.
All right. Handyman Connection, the number one more time.
602-424-6700.
And we asked Alan in to come and talk to us about the one question we've been hit with the most often. Every week, we're going to start bringing this most asked inquiry every week. And it was, what precautions should I take with the things I store in the attic? And we do have a page on our website that gives you the 10 things to consider before piling your belongings in the attic. I've looked up in attics and been aghast that things of this value are being kept in this condition. And then I've been aghast at saying, why would you ever keep that? So take an assessment before you get up there and organize the area. And be careful about creating access ports to the storage. It is against the law. It is illegal for you to cut a hole in a garage ceiling without it being fire rated. So you can't just cut a hole in the ceiling and crawl up there. Even if you put a pull-down ladder, those pull-down ladders need to be fire rated. So those are a couple of mistakes we see very, very often. Alan, again, Handyman Connection, thanks a million for coming in and talking with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, we had someone on the line wanting to talk about supercooling. Let's address his topic here real quick.
So George called and just said he supercools and loves it. He just had he asked the question specifically, how many hours can I run my air conditioning in a row? You know, he said he runs it real hard all morning, of course, and at 3 o'clock it rests. So is that hard on the AC?
No. As a matter of fact, Train was here last hour. I've also talked to other reps from other manufacturing companies. They all super cool at their own homes with their equipment. Anyone that tells you it's hard on equipment is crazy. You're actually asking the equipment to give you the maximum benefits when it's easiest for the equipment to provide it to you. And I would tell this caller, he knows if he's getting close to being right, if he looks at his total kilowatts consumed per month, divide that by your total cost, and if you're at about 12 or 13 cents a kilowatt or less, what you're doing, if you're comfortable, is exactly right. That's the number one criteria if you're super cool and correct. You should not be spending over 12 or 13 cents a kilowatt per month.